from San Jose, from our man on the scene, Sandy. That's you. Sandy, tell us what's happening in San Jose and what we can do about it.
Hello, my name is Sandy Perry. I'm a writer for the People's Tribune in San Jose. Good afternoon. Happy 4th of July. Happy Homeless Independence Day. This is the first thing I got when I got here today. I think this is what the 4th of July is all about. There was a woman up here earlier who talked about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and this is how this is the only way we're going to get it, is by getting together and fighting like this. Homelessness in America, you can't have a pursuit of happiness without a roof over your head. We have, and the thing is, it's not only wrong, it's unnecessary. We have enough technology today to put a home over everybody, a roof over everybody's head. Not only that, we have 6 million homeless in this country today, and we have 3 million empty homes out there that nobody's staying in. And there's nothing that keeps us away from them except for the laws of private property. What happened in San Jose about three weeks ago, the city council passed a resolution called the Guadalupe River Evacuation Plan. And while the brother that talked earlier talked about the positive aspect of that, is that a number of people were able to get homes. The city came down, they set up tents down by the Guadalupe River, they set up programs, and they were able to organize permanent housing for about 100 people that were down there. The downside, which they didn't mention, was that anybody who remained at the river after last Friday was arrested. Everybody cleared out, people moved upriver or downriver, and from now on they're going to arrest and confiscate the belongings of anybody who's found camping in that stretch of the river. And what this appears to be, it appears to be what they're trying to do is to turn San Jose into another Santa Cruz, where it's going to be illegal to sleep outside. The city council has refused to make a plan that will provide enough housing to keep a roof over everybody's head. They did an official estimate in a study that said they need 16,000 new homes for low-income people. And then they made a plan which says we aren't going to build them. And then they passed this, which says, if you're found camping outside, we're going to arrest you. When I marched through the streets of Santa Cruz a little earlier, I thought if we had this kind of an active movement and this many people in San Jose who were fighting in the way that they were doing here, this never would have been able to get through. I think
we don't have this many.
I think this is a fight that we could win, though, and I think the reason is because there's millions of people out there who are only one paycheck away from homelessness. There's 3 or 6 million homeless people, but there's tens and twenties and thirties of millions of people who may be homeless with a downturn in the economy. Now, I think what we've got to do, and the way that we can win those people over, even some of those people in the red shirts today may end up being homeless next year, is we have to point out this, that we have a right to a home, and that we have a right to a roof over our head. And some people say that this is socialism. Well, we've already got socialism in this country. The only problem is it's socialism for rich people. In San Jose, they're giving millions of dollars of our money to build luxury hotels like the Fairmont Hotel, the Convention Center, and the Hilton Hotel, while they're arresting homeless people. We have socialism for the rich, where they're giving $500 billion to the savings and loan associations. Yeah. Now, if these people in the red shirts are looking for some bums, they ought to go down to the savings and loans and start picking in there. Those are some bums. What we need is socialism for homeless people and for working people. If they spent that $500 billion on homes for people, roofs over people's head, food for their belly, clothes for their back, they would have enough to get something for everybody in need. And not only that, a program, a drug program, or whatever type of program that people need, they'd have enough to fund all of that. Instead, they're giving it to investors. I'd like to congratulate the people for coming out here today. They say America doesn't have any heroes like Mandela or something like that, but I think the heroes in America are the people who marched on the streets here today. And I'd like to congratulate you. Nothing can change in America without you. And happy 4th of July. Thank you.
Hey, we're doing a lot of talk. We were going to promise you some music, but more talk. Here's a little bit more talk. It's been brought to my attention that a lot of the folks coming down were thinking that we were going to break up into things like workshops, hammer out some kind of document, and then present it to local officials. Actually, we hoped to do that if the Congress had been longer. Our problem is we have really limited time for most of you because you guys are leaving, most of you, on buses around 6. Now, there are going to be some of you who aren't leaving, and what I'd like to know from those who aren't, and this is just sort of a preliminary sense, is one, are people interested in staying for a sleep-out action? For example, in solidarity with Jay Green's Chaos Workshop at the homeless table. That's part of what this event is about, is challenging the sleeping ban. I'd like to get some idea of how many people think they're going to be here tonight, sleeping. Is anybody going to be here tonight? Do we have anybody who's interested in this? We have one man, two, three. Anybody else? Four, five. Six, seven. Jay does this every night. He's an expert at it. I'm also like to let you know that we have some legal sleeping spaces too. So if you feel like you want to stay we're hoping to continue the Congress another day. To continue at 8:30 tomorrow with breakfast and lunch, and continued speeches of the kind you're getting now, and maybe even some music. Who knows? So, are people interested in staying? If you're interested in staying, can you wave a hand? I'm going to see how many people are going to be here tomorrow. Okay, if you're not going to be here tomorrow, raise your hand.
I'll be here in heart.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So we have a vague idea of what's going to happen here. Well, you know, we're playing it as it comes along. We did concoct a statement. Two more. Excellent. We concocted a statement last night, some homeless folks and homeless advocates here, as to what we want from our city council. But frankly, rather than read that to you, I'd like to hear some more from people who are homeless and also people who are visiting who are homeless who have things to say that we're not going to be able to hear. I mean, we got a petition here, and it'll be at the homeless table, which we're locating right over there. And you're welcome to sign it, welcome to read it, welcome to take it back with you. And we're hoping to continue all these contacts. And again, we got some tough people here running workshops, and we got a couple hours. And you know, it's worth getting into these. I really urge you to do this. In fact, it looks like we actually have a workshop starting right behind me, behind the bridge, if anyone's interested in the Silver City workshop. Particularly the women's workshop and the Cop Watch workshop, I think sounded valuable to me. I missed what the descriptions of the other workshops were. But speaking next is Pamela from the Union of the Homeless, and after that we're going to have one of our local guys, Pete Pascal, who is facing public nuisance charges, 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. And after that we may actually have some music, I hope. Thanks.
My name is Pam. I'm with the Oakland Union of the Homeless. First of all, I want to thank Santa Cruz for your hospitality, for even having Oakland out here.
Yay, yay.
But you know what? What I see here, it kind of saddens me because the people that I'm around are fighters. And what I see here are a bunch of very passive people that are willing to just about take anything. This is the same thing we've seen up in Sacramento when we went by the river. The people were so intimidated, meaning the homeless people were so intimidated by the police that they had to get permission. They had to go get permission to go to the bathroom every time they wanted to. That's how passive it was. We just had a confrontation up on top there with a couple of police trying to tell us that we couldn't cook in a park. In a public park that has benches and tables, and you can't cook in? And then we have a person here that's from Santa Cruz that's sitting there skinning and grinning with these cops, trying to get permission to cook. Well, the Oakland Union of the Homeless told them we was going to cook anyway. We didn't care about your laws. We didn't care about what you said. We was going to go cook, and that's it, and that's all. We came here to have a barbecue. Okay, now with that type of attitude, they began to think, well, should we, you know, take their food from them and really start something? Or should we just go ahead and let them cook? with a little more passive talking and a little more this back forth and back and forth with the police, they finally decide that we can cook. And we're barbecuing right now, so everyone will have barbecue ribs and chicken like we planned. A little bit late, but we planned it and we did it, even when they said we weren't going to do it. The reason why the Oakland Union of the Homeless came here today was to set some type of precedent for Santa Cruz. Since we happen to be out in the forefront, and we're one of the original homeless unions that began in the very beginning of this homeless wave, which started back east, which mostly everything does start back east. It started with in Philadelphia with Chris Sproul. Yeah. And what happened was that homeless people began to get in the trenches and began to solve their own problems, began to empower themselves. This is what Santa Cruz has to do. And in order to do it, you're going to have to listen to people that have been through it. Because a lot of the things that you're going to have to do to protest, and like right now, protesting is the thing to do, because believe it or not, as much as you go, we protested for 2 years, and I was tired of it. I said, what am I doing here all the time, you know? What am I protesting? There has to be a reason. We have to expose the people. We have to let them know what they're doing, where they're fighting from, where we're coming from. Out of that 2-3 years of protesting in our union and back in Philadelphia and clean across the United States, as a matter of fact, for those that don't know, there are 15 cities that are in collaboration with the union. We have a national headquarters for the union. So some of you people that are calling yourselves unions cannot actually, you can call yourselves that, but you cannot actually be that until the national union accepts you into the union. That's another thing that you're going to have to get to the Oakland Union of the Homeless People with. We're going to have a convention, and what would be a nicer place to have a convention but Santa Cruz? Hey, yeah. Okay. Now, like I was just saying a minute ago, our purpose, the reason why we came here, is to set some type of precedent. And the precedent is to come out of this Congress with some type of demands to your city, expressing the fact to change the laws that they do have, that $138 fines that you do have, that you when you're sleeping, right? Okay, I'm not familiar. You guys, okay, you hear where I'm coming from?
You don't have that in Oakland?
Okay, you're going to have to sit down. I don't care if you start with the 7 people that rose their hand and said they're going to sleep out tonight, and they don't care what they do. They can arrest me as far as I'm concerned. That's the kind of attitude that you have to have if you want change. You can't have no change coming and sitting down in the park and kicking back and listening to some old 1960 spirituals back here. No, you can't do nothing like that. You have to get in the workshops. You have to put your minds together about change. And this is what we're talking about, change. To show you how changed we are in Oakland right now, a bunch of people they call drug addicts, bums, didn't want any jobs, mentally impaired people, non-educated people. You know what we did? We made the government give us $2.5 million to build housing for the homeless. And what was our precedence? Philadelphia. They're the model. They were the model city for us. They were the model. We took and we put our footprints in Philadelphia's footprints, and we haven't gone wrong since then.
Liberty Bell.
And I mean it, $2.5 million for a bunch of dope addicts, mentally retarded people. You know, people that they say go get a job. These necks that are running up and down the side of the protest today, the red shirts, talking about y'all get out, get out. You know? Yeah. You know, they're the ones that need to really bug off. If not, charge them. Get in the day wallet. That's what you do. You start making proposals. You start shooting laws to the up to Sacramento. You start putting pressure on these officials. I understand that Santa Cruz has got a lot of money here. They're supposed to be somewhat like a Brentwood in where I'm from in Watts, California. Brentwood, Pacific Palisades, Marin County, Moraga or Renda. This is the type of, you know, money that's supposed to be flowing around here. And you guys are selling for the crumbs. You know what? You say there's a lot of good people, but you guys are in this position. What you need to do is change. That's what I'm saying. What you need to do is change. You have what you call, you guys have become self-satisfied. And it really hurts me to see this. Because when you become self-satisfied, then you become complacent and you don't want change. We're not stuck back in the 1960s anymore. This is 1990. And I'm going to say this. If you want it, you can get it. And it can start with those seven people that courageously rose their hand to do this civil disobedience tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm one of the first founders of the Oakland Homeless of the Union. We sat down, wrote a constitution, did our bylaws. We did it in a smoky room at Oakland Independent Support Service. We didn't have no money. We argued, we bickered, we fought. We went to a convention that was given to us by a hall that was given to us by a restaurant union. And out of that period of time, which has been the past 3 or 4 years, this year was my most happiest moment because the dreams do come true. Now we have Dignity House West in West Oakland that will be starting to get built in October or November of this year. And we're going to house nothing but homeless people and to continue the leadership in the homeless union. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of this. So this attitude in Santa Cruz, I want you guys, when I walk away from here, to let you know that we fighters, all of us have a fighting spirit. But somewhere along down the line, these people in Santa Cruz have broken your fighting spirit. You've become afraid, and you shouldn't become afraid anymore. As a matter of fact, you should become the boldest of bold, because you know what? You at the bottom, you have nothing else to lose. So why not start fighting for it? I'm going to let you know. When I come back here, I'm going to say it's time for barbecue, okay?
Okay. Our next speaker is one of the more fighting types of guys around Santa Cruz. He's also a working type of guy, and he also has, as I said before, he's been arrested numerous times for specifically trying to take responsibility for this homeless table. Actually, it was another one, but it's the same thing. It was the people who were distributing literature and urging people to fight back, to stand up for the right, to be able to sleep at night, the right to be able to walk the streets with the same respect as anybody else, the right not to be discriminated against at restaurants, the right to be able to walk into a grocery store without being pursued by would-be, wannabe cops, and then assaulted outside, as happened recently at one of our local grocery stores, which is where they instituted a secret spy system because it doesn't like the local homeless. It regards them as synonymous with shoplifters and so forth. Anyway, this... Yes? Say that again? The red shirts. Okay, the red shirts are members of a group gotten together by a woman named Carolyn Boozenhart. Carolyn Boozenhart is a cosmetician from a nearby city, Capitola. She heard that we were having a demonstration, and in order to stop this obscene affront to her city hall of the homeless people coming to city hall and asking or demanding the right to be able to sleep without harassment, she decided to organize a counter demonstration. And she did. And at city hall today, I understand, although I didn't see it, there were about 500 people wearing red shirts because she asked them all to wear red shirts. Okay? We've actually issued a flyer about her and about the claims she's made. We've had debates with her on the radio. And the reason I don't spend a lot of time talking about her is because I don't think she's worth a lot of time talking about her.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, but before you do, we got two guys. You better do real quick.
We're at the march.
some motherfucker with a red shirt on asked me where's I'm from. I said, I'm from Oakland, California. He said, ooh. I said, you want to step around this corner right here? We can talk about it a little bit more. Well, lay off of me. That's right. You want to step around this corner? Leave me alone. But I'll work you over, partner. I got a little agenda for you. That's right. I'm not scared. That guy said right in front of the police, I'm not scared of the police either. Take me to jail. When I get out, I'll do the same thing. Huh? I don't need no red shirt. I got a red and white button right here. You know, this is where I stand behind. Dignity House West. Home is not helpless. That's right. God bless you.
So that message is pretty clear, you know. And whether you, you know, whether you tell somebody to step around the corner or you just tell somebody to fuck off, it's the same thing. It's, you know, the essence of it is, you know, don't bother me. You got a problem, maybe you can talk to your local psychiatrist, whatever your problem is. But deal with it. But don't come around harassing me for it. And that really is the problem in Santa Cruz. You have a lot of people who have a lot of groundless fears about people and are taking it out on people who look to them different, scruffier than usual. They aren't well-dressed, perhaps, and they also don't have the kind of money that other people have, so therefore they feel they're the problem. Well, we all know about that one. Anyway, here's Pete.
Don't clap, throw money, no. That's all I say. Well, God bless America is the first thing I like to say. Yeah. Land of the free. Are we free here?
Yeah.
I'm not free. I got news for you. I'm not free here in Santa Cruz. Not since the day I got here. How about anybody else? Are they free here?
Are you free?
Yeah. Well, you're free now because you're not incarcerated anywhere, right? Go to sleep. That'll change that for you.
That was a smart.
You know, I've been sort of hanging out here all day, taking up time and space, maintaining a public nuisance wherever I can. Well, didn't seem to get me too far.
You know what? You're an asshole.
Be nice. Be nice.
I got one for you to kiss, but... You know. Well, anyways, I'm here to talk about being free. You know, 20 so years ago, I uphold the Constitution of the United States for this here United States Army. Got sent over the ocean, handed a weapon. Tell me, hey, you're God, you can do what you want.
It must be me.
I come back here to this America, and they take my gun away from me.
Let's sit down again.
I thought we had a right to do that.
No?
This is America, they do what they want. But really, you know, I was a little skeptical of this 4th of July Independence Day type thing. And I'm saying, oh, there's 400 people here. Are we going to stop here? You know, is it just Santa Cruz? You know, I say we ought to just tell Mr. Bush what's going on out here. You know? Let's get about 5,000 or 10,000 people and show them, you know. Everybody sleeps in the woods. Hey, this is Santa Cruz. You can't sleep there, little guy. Well, I've had my share of them. I'm still sleeping outside. They just can't find me or write me a ticket. They're like the census workers, you know? They don't look under the right bush or something, you know? But hey, we're all here, right? So how many of you now think that you...
I'm a ghost.
Well, good. Disappear. No, this is America. He's allowed to speak his, whatever he speaks, French, Italian. Yeah, he's all right. The mayor of the mall. Does anybody know him? Okay. I still don't seem to be getting my point across to anybody here. Did we all come here for free food? Is that what the problem was? Is that what we came here for? Play some music. I can't sing or dance. I'm sorry. Just wash my hands. Can't do a thing with them. All right. We came here to get some stuff done. Got it done? I don't think we got too much done. Got a lot of TV people here. Well, they were here until I started talking. Must be boring or something. I can't fit. Thank you. No, throw money. Let's get back to being free. They freed Mandela. They freed East and West Germany.
Pardon Nixon.
Yeah, well, they pardoned him because he has lots of money.
Yeah.
They never pardoned me, you know. Not that I've done anything wrong. I was born, maybe that was a mistake, I don't know.
Hey, sit down and park. Can I talk?
Well, see that I'm boring everybody, and I can't really tell you about what I really believe in here. Sounds like the city council meeting. I only got 3 minutes and then you're out. Okay, but before I go, I'd like to say one thing, you know. Let's try to keep this America, you know, free from coercion, you know, free from going to jail for sleeping or just being homeless, you know. And I want to thank everybody for being here and showing your support.
He is referring to the city council rule that if you talk more than 3 minutes, you can be arrested, as several have. However, here's a man who's been waiting for a while. We heard earlier a discussion of possible cop watch workshop. Here at Santa Cruz, when I see a police person stopping someone, I stop, usually, if I can. I pull out my notebook and I advance real close so I can hear what's going on. I think this is a very good policy for people to follow. It does make you a target. But frankly, you're probably a target anyway. So, you know, at least if you're out there with your eyes open and your pencil out, you're a more formidable force than you would be if you're trying to kind of slink along in the shadows. Traveling in pairs is a good idea. This is John Michael Jones, Berkeley.
I've been involved in activism for about 15 years, and I can't remember one time where people didn't attend workshops after this sort of event. There's an idea at the end of each sort of event like this that you have an educational process at the end of it, or you get absolutely nothing out of it. You get a full belly and an ear full of music, and that's it. Cop Watch is based on us protecting ourselves and making sure that we're documenting things, we're recording things, and we're taking pictures of things. That's the only way you can protect yourself. I had to save a kid about 9 months ago from a cop who beat the shit out of him. There was about 9 people who stopped by and said, "Officer, you're out of control." He said, "Get out of here. This is none of your business. I'm a cop." I had to literally grab his cop and let him know they are out of control. And that's our fault, basically, because we don't do follow-up work. We don't go, we don't make complaints. We don't do PRC, Police Review Commission. Another area that people should really intensely work on is strategic political action. When I say that, I mean using high tech like your opposition does. What has happened, we haven't modified ourselves the way we do things. Our opposition has. Give you an example. We held this park, it was called Reaganville. It was a tent city. For, I guess it was 3 months, 4 months, we suffered like 80 arrests, 100 and something arrests or something in Reaganville. They kept pressuring us to get out of there. They did not like us there. They would destroy our tents, our property, and the such. Me and Bob conceived an idea that if what we have now that they want, that we should not worry about them taking it, but we should ask for more. And I believe that's what you should do with your table. Bypass the table. Want the table? Take the table. Now we want something else. I did the same thing in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They wanted to take the nighttime shelter. And everybody was afraid. They take the nighttime shelter. I said, don't worry about that goddamn nighttime shelter. Tell them now you want a recreational center and you want a daytime shelter. And now they got three squat houses, legally squatted, a recreational center and a daytime shelter. And still got their nighttime shelter. It's all in thinking. You got to set a strategy on how to deal with them. After they took the park, we went to Ho Chi Minh Park, and they said, oh my God, you can have the park now, because that's a yuppie park. So you want this shit, you can have it. You know? So the idea with the workshop is to fuel in more and more strategic things on what you can do and how you can fight them. You can't always do it by crying. You know, you can't always do it by complaining or marching up and down the street, you know? And I heard one cop when we passed him, he said, oh, they only got an hour or so, then they gotta go. It didn't even sink in. It didn't even penetrate. You know, I'm not myself personally into picket signs or singing "We Shall Overcome." I'm not into that. Basically, I did it as a favor, helping to support the people here. But when we allow them to give us rules, allow them to tell us where we can march, where we will end the march, this is not effective to them because they know it's not going to do anything. It's going to get some TV coverage and the such. Yeah. But the idea is, with my thinking, the idea is try to be more mentally strategic on dealing with your opposition. And let's try less and less to stop crying and to stop looking sad and bewildered when they hurt us, but to stand up. And Cop Watch is working. Cop Watch is working. And they're there all the time. They're there and they got videos. And I mean, they are there. And they got everything documented. They have a chart. Who got arrested, what time they got arrested, what the cop did, what for, was there brutality, was there this, was there that, and there's nothing they can do to us. They can't tell us to go, they can't tell us to do anything, period. So the idea, if you want to protect yourself, try to organize yourself in units and let them know, you know the law, you know you can stand and watch a cop work. That's your employee. He can't tell you what to do. You have a right to stand there and watch justice prevail. You have a right to do that. So I think the workshops are really important. I think the strategic political strategy is really important. I think that the Cop Watch is a really important workshop if you guys want to get to know how to do it and what to do. And we've cut down on a lot of brutality on Telegraph Avenue. I mean a lot. And I mean they were out of control. They were really out of control. So you might want to get involved with the workshop and not just leave the chicken and music. Thanks.
I'm going to join the workshop, by the way, John, if no one else is, because I'd like to get some more tips from you on how you're proceeding. But here's a man who may be able to help us in the workshop. He's been trying to deal with police harassment and problems of people sleeping and being taken to jail. And as I said before, I introduced Ray Grunach before on the steps of the post office. He's a man who's the only lawyer in Santa Cruz. Well, there's one other, but he's really the mainstay, the only lawyer who regularly deals with camping cases. Because for most lawyers, to take a camping case is to waste hours and hours and hundreds of dollars in court. And they're not interested in that. They don't want to do that. And so what I've told people is you have to take your own cases. You have to go to court yourself and deal with your own court dates or decide what you want to do on that score. Anyway, but this guy is a support for us in Santa Cruz, and he can make it brief, or perhaps not, but he should make it long. But here he is, Ray Grunach. He's the local attorney.
All right.
Thank you. I get a lot of congratulations for somehow being different from all those other kind of guys that are lawyers and going and doing all that important stuff in court. I want to say something real clearly here. You have an opportunity today, and that's to learn something much more important than how to lawyer in court. I will say absolutely unequivocally, unreservedly, if you participate in a Cop Watch program, you're going to be more effective, get much more likely to get to the root of what is wrong in terms of abuse of power than just being a lawyer in a court. I say that, I do cop watching when I'm on the streets. When I'm out, you know, shopping or whatever, and I'm going by, and it doesn't matter what's going down. It doesn't matter if it's a drug bust or a traffic ticket or whatever. If there's a cop talking to a citizen, it doesn't matter whether they're smiling or looking menacing, just stop. You know, you have a right to stop. Take note of the guy's name. By the way, even when the cops are being friendly, just sort of, you know, cruising around the mall or whatever, Look at cops' faces. Look at their names. Learn to recognize names and faces on cops so that if a subsequent occasion you see that cop doing something, you don't have to just say, oh, it's some cop. You can say, that was Sergeant David St. Ange, O-N-G-E, of the Santa Cruz Police Department that was doing that particular brutality because he regularly does it. You got to learn those names. Okay? Now, we're going to get some good ideas from folks from Oakland, but after they go back to Oakland and do their good work there, mostly it's going to be folks from Santa Cruz, and you know, we can't call up Oakland and ask, hey, what was the name of that cop who I saw beating up somebody? We got to know! We got to figure it out. We got to watch. Okay? Now, okay, I happen to be a bureaucrat. I'm also that skinny grinner that Pamela was talking about, but we'll get to that later. But I happen to be a bureaucrat, which means that I go into the courthouse, and I do, on the average, 5 to 20 trials a week for the homeless on camping ban. I do that for a very particular reason, which I want to get to in just a minute, in a few minutes. But I want to say, you don't have to go to school for a long time or become a lawyer or become elected to office. You don't have to have a bunch of money to make a difference. You make a difference by doing the things that are within your power and insisting that it's within your power to do it. Oddly enough, under the peculiar circumstances of Santa Cruz, you can even make a difference like going to sleep, as long as you do it at the right time and the right place. And one of the right times and right places is for any poor person to go to sleep outside between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. to show them what they can do with their fucking ordinance. That's right. Now, the brothers and sisters are pointing out, we got a lot of red shirts in town today. I'm one of these head in the sand folks. I never know what's really going on. I got up this morning, I put on a red shirt. I forgot what day it was. My God, you know, I have a reputation for getting naked on the spot, but I didn't go quite that far. I just took off my red shirt as soon as I realized what time of the day it was. But at any rate, I went over and I talked to some of those red shirts because, you know, they're folks too. You know, they're just basically folks like you and I. They've got their ideas. They're not all alike, et cetera. Problem is, they got some very dangerous ideas they're putting out there. We got to talk back to those people. And I want to talk a little bit about the camping law. And I'm not going to go through all the details of it. And I'm not going to go through all the legalisms of it. But I want to say this. Is that the camping law, ostensibly what it does is it says you can't do this, this, and this, and this. And in the courts, all I can do is talk about the proof of what is supposedly done and whether it fits the camping law. Yeah, this guy, I guess it looks like he caught him beyond a reasonable doubt. He was asleep, all right. So he's guilty. The problem is that that's the way to deal with it in the courts. We have to deal with the realities, which it doesn't have anything to do with conduct. It has to do with who you are, what class you are seen as being. That camping law is not about sleep. It's not about camping. It's not about where to sleep or where not to sleep. It's about running poor people out of town.
What's burning?
That's what that camping law is about. We should never pretend it's about anything else. Even though all the constitutional arguments have to go into the substantive due process right to choose your own hours of sleep. It's all very academic and interesting and ignored by the judges. And those are the arguments that I put out because I'm doing the bureaucratic job. But remember, the camping law is about running people out of town. To think of the camping law as being about sleep is like pretending that in California 90 years ago, when they made it illegal to have a wooden laundromat, that they were really worried about a fire hazard instead of running the Chinese out of California. It's the same thing. It has nothing to do with the goddamn laundries or the fires. It means racism. It means going against lower class people. It means the aristocracy of the rich and the middle class yuppies. We have to stand up to them. Now, I want to talk about enforcement. How is this enforced? Well, again, I got one of these liberal trips to employ on you for a moment. It's something really interesting to see. You know, we all know when we get away from our rhetoric that not all cops are alike. Some are good guys and some are bad guys, you know? They really are. There's something very interesting. When you get into cop watch and you start looking at names and particular people, you're going to notice something about what's going on in Santa Cruz cops. 10 years ago, we had a brutal, brutal police force. And it was largely cleaned up. And now, by and large, we have a pretty good police force in the city of Santa Cruz. We have a lot of patrolmen who are pretty decent people individually. If you go out, I'm not saying all of them. There's some people like, say, what was another of those names? Officer Pruger! Oh, yeah. Well, he's not one of those really nice folks. Well, I'm getting to him. I go, we're going one name at a time. Okay. The typical cop on the beat is trying to figure out ways to pretend that they're not being persecutors. They're trying to pretend like, you know, they wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and give you a warning. And then they come back and bust you at 3 o'clock. And they feel that they're being good guys. That's what the typical cop is trying to do. And they feel, well, I'm really being a good guy. I'm being even better by telling them that there's a shelter. They don't know that the shelter might not be open. You can't get in there in the middle of the night. But at least I told them there was a shelter. There's something very specific that's happening in Santa Cruz now. That's when the police brutality is happening. It's not the stray cop on the beat that is doing the brutality. It's the sergeants. And it's the other folks when the sergeants are present. We are finding that when the officers are absent, the cops are being human. And when the officers are present, they are being brutal. And they are being harassing. Now what was that name? Sergeant Bob Henning, who beat up Mike. That's right, Mike Hobson. I was approached by a bus driver who saw that incident. He said, hey, I don't like homeless and I've always never had to fight with a cop, but I saw that incident. It was real brutality. I said, oh, gee, you know, who was it? He didn't know. We found out it was Sergeant Bob Hay. Okay, what does it mean when the brutality is happening only when the sergeants are there? What it means is that it's coming from the top. We're not talking about the mentality. We don't have to think of every cop as being a fascist or being an asshole. It means it is policy. It is coming from the top. Capitalism, progressives of Santa Cruz want you people out. And they're tired of playing around. Now they're going to start playing around with some brutality. So they're introducing it by degrees. And we have to respond. We have to be there. We have to do cop watch. We have to be on the scene, learn our names, learn the ranks. And we have to speak up very concretely. Okay, third part. I only have 3 parts of speech. I have a short memory. What can we do about it? I want to say, first of all, I don't think any single person is bright enough to figure out all the things to do about it. And the last person you should listen to on what to do about it is a lawyer. Okay? So, I just want to go through a short history of some things we've tried to do about it, none of which have yet worked. So you don't have to repeat all of our mistakes. First thing is we took a very lawyer-like approach, very scholarly approach. Took a look at this law and said, oh, let's just go in court and get it declared unconstitutional. So I did that, and I wrote a big constitutional brief. I'm very wordy, as you know by now. A big, huge brief, and said, let's see why it's constitutional. And they just said, thank you, we like your writing, you're very eloquent. Forget it, denied.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Next day. Didn't work to call in the Constitution.
No.
Now we tried working out the budget. We are trying to clog the courts. I'm asking anybody who is arrested for camping in this city, regardless of the reasons, regardless of whether you have a good reason or a bad reason, plead not guilty. Doesn't even mean you're saying you're innocent. It means that they have to prove it. They have to bring the cops into court. It's good, it keeps them off the street. Bring the cops into court. It runs up the bills. I am trying to make their bill as high as possible.
Right on.
I got a surprise for you, folks. The red shirts may be helping us.
Right on.
I got a surprise for you. Mm-hmm. The red shirts say that they want jury trials. They want misdemeanors instead of mere infractions. I say, thank you, brothers and sisters. We want misdemeanors too, because that means a jury trial
right.
in every fucking one of these prosecutions.
Right on.
And that will have to cost more.
Woo! Jury trial.
So, oh, please, now, let's play that card. Please don't throw us in that misdemeanor patch. Please, I don't know if I could go to jail on this one. Of course, you have to spend $10,000 instead of $500 to get me there. Okay, now, all is said and done, the courts and the budget isn't going to pull it off. It's going to pull it off, it's going to be organizing and work. Now, finally, I said something about me being the skinny grinner that Sister Pamela spoke about. You know, we all get carried away with our rhetoric, and we try building our own stuff up and putting other people down, and, you know, I'm no different from anybody else on that. But basically, We've got a lot of folks here that we have to listen to. They've got some wonderful ideas, they've got sound ideas, and we need to catch on to that militancy. One criticism that I would have of Sister Pamela, as she has of me, is that, and she probably is the first to admit it, is that she's not that familiar with the Santa Cruz scene, and there are some things, and I'm sure she'd be happy to hear this, there's some things that have been working out well in Santa Cruz that she hasn't yet seen because she's been doing her beautiful work elsewhere in Oakland. So, even though I'm a bureaucrat and I only know how to jerk in certain directions, I only said one thing. Don't go for the goddamn permit. Don't even apply for it. It's unconstitutional.
All right.
And when I'm asked by people whether or not they should go ahead and disobey the law, I and my own lawyer with conservative grinning ass fashion say, break the damn law. Stand up for your own rights.
Right.
I think Sister Pamela is saying the same thing. And if Sister Pamela and I have to unsmear our glasses so we can see each other and have a good hug, that's just what it'll take. It's cool. Beautiful.
All right.
Okay.
Music.
Enough. Let's work together.
Music.
We've got lots and lots of work to do. Do the workshops. Do the follow-up work that you got to do. And please, note down names. Look at faces. Watch cops. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Watch cops.
Right. Yeah.
Big badge numbers.
Here's a man who's going to speak. You know what he's going to speak about. Here he is. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, he's following her. Her mommy.
I'm not a whore. That's just a pretty word for a goddamn drunk. You know? Guess what? In 12 years, I've been busted more than 200 times in this town. They want me to leave. I told them they need a bazooka, a machine gun, a BAR, a rocket stick, a pistol, and a baseball bat. You know who? One of the best people ever. But they have put it down. You know why? Because you love me. I go be the next meal. Don't think so? Why me? Yeah, I don't care. See, that lady in there, she got a fine house. She got her Mercedes or BMW or whatever, you know. I don't know what she got, you know, but she got her house, eh? She got her foods, she got her kids, they all up in school, right? My little girl is on the calendar. She turned 18 this year. She went to college. She don't know when to pick her up. No, you know what I'm saying. See? Yeah. See? Y'all all fine folks. Every one of them is people. They people too, but they keep messing with us. And we don't like that. We pay them to do this to us, something is wrong with your system. Every time, I just went and bought a pint of vodka, right? A pint of vodka, right? Right. I just went and bought a pint of vodka. Me and my partner, right? And now, we come around the corner and we go to it, right? Now, the man caught us, he would have told us to go, right? But he didn't coach us. But he did. We would have paid him to take us to... Something is wrong with this system. I think we've got to change it right now. Don't you?
Never did. What's the upshot of that?
Okay. Announcement here, we're about to have chicken,
believe
it
or not. Coax him to leave and then
I invite you all to get your chicken and bring it back down here so you can hear some music and yet more of our wonderful speakers.
Are you going to do it?
I'm going to go to the Copwatch workshop, and I'd like to present... Kathy, do you want to speak next, or is it Mike? First, it's going to be Kathy, who's a local Santa Cruz person who wants to organize something in Santa Cruz regarding how to deal with current political situation, the camping ban, and the current city council.
That's confusing.
Hello? On my way over here today, I believe what the other gentleman was speaking about when he said that we can't just stop here today. It's great that everybody came out and everybody pulled together in the state and everybody came from many miles to join together, hand in hand, to make a stand in Santa Cruz, but not only a stand in Santa Cruz, but a stand in the state of California and throughout the nation. My own personal sadness is that somehow we didn't organize this a little bit better, in the sense that, but it's a start. We can do it next 4th of July, God willing. And I wanted it to be every sister town and city in the United States of America joining with us, hand-to-hand homeless across the 50 states, to make it become a real democratic grassroots stand for independence. Because we are all the people, for the people, of the people. Unfortunately, our town council here, as many town councils in the United States of America today, are no longer for the people. We all know that. Many of us here are from other places. I'm not even born here. I'm from Michigan. Many of the people that are fighting for you people in Santa Cruz, I think you owe them a hand of applause, are imports. They're from back east. They're from Berkeley. They're from other towns. And if it wasn't for their guts and gumption to come in here, this town still would be a really sad state of affairs. And I know I've been here. It is. I agree. Couple of suggestions that I have, and I'm sure there's people out there who have thought the same thing. I don't think that these ideas just come to one person, but I feel really led to express this. Number one, the first concern that we should do at this point, I feel, to keep the spirit up and the spirit going, as the sister said from Oakland, to continue our fight together, is to start with those who are willing to, and I've done it, it's not easy, but you can do it, door-to-door canvassing with a petition to impeach the mayor, because legally speaking, the mayor in this town, I don't know if anybody's done their homework, I did, she is not to be the mayor. It doesn't matter if it's her or he. But the reality is, in Santa Cruz, you are permitted to be a mayor for 1 year. The only reason she's in here right now, and the city clerk department told me, you can all call tomorrow and jam the phone lines and ask the same question, is because the town council decided that when we had the earthquake and the great shake that we had, we were in a state of emergency. So the town council gave her the right to continue to be mayor during this emergency. Well, I don't know about any of you, but I've went to some of the town council meetings. I've aligned myself with those who are in the forefront, really advocating, conscientious objecting, going to jail, being treated like criminals, being arrested, now taking their things, which I believe myself and other good volunteers during the earthquake gave free clothing, gave free tents, gave free sleeping bags. Now I understand that the confiscation is no longer intimidation of your person and your body and personality, but it's your clothes, it's your possession. You have a right to stand up for those possessions because they were given to you free. Free in this town by many good citizens and people from other parts of the country and world during the earthquake. And I bet many of the things that are being confiscated now and not being returned were given out through the Red Cross and other places. And that really hurts me very deeply. I want to encourage you that there is a university up there with thousands of students, approximately 10,000. We have Cabrillo, I'm not sure, maybe 3,000-4,000. It's my hope and my dream to start with them and anybody here to start a door-to-door, starting tomorrow, petition to ban the camping ban totally and to impeach the mayor. Nobody will know what the outcome will be, but the reality is, if anybody has the guts here to go to the next town council meeting and sit there from the beginning to the end, as I came late to one, and they sat there and they laughed, and it was like a joke at the end of the evening, because they no longer had to deal with the reality and the suffering hurt of the people in the community. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't stand to see people sitting there chagrining and making fun of situations like they're giving us a great break to sit there from 7 till 11 every 2 weeks. I will sit anywhere 24 hours if somebody really wants help, as I'm sure many of you out here have given more than 24 hours and then some. There's a lot of tired soldiers in this town, but we need to have new soldiers coming forward, new warriors coming forward, collectively, group to group. Earth First, many groups here, Grassroots, Greenpeace, CalPERG, etc. We got to unite together. Food's not bombs. We have to unite together. We're all here for the same common cause: freedom, peace, and equality and justice. And when I bicycled over here, I said, well, God, maybe I'm not even supposed to be here because I got so many people to come and I'm tired and I'm getting here so late. But I said, no, I've got to make a stand. Even if it's a small stand, I have to make a stand. Normally, I don't even talk in front of a group because I don't like to. But outside, I can handle it because I'm outside. I'm not enclosed in a building. So I appreciate you listening. And I got courage to do it because of the lady from Oakland, who's a real charging, fighting woman. God love her. And second thing I want to say that Santa Cruz is lacking in, and I have the phone number, and I almost went to do it about a week and a half ago, but I was away out of town, and I came back in, Habitat. Jimmy Carter is definitely a worker for the poor. He was just in Mexico. I know a contractor, another woman. They were in Costa Rica. They were in Mexico. They are building homes for the homeless.
This town, unless you...
He is now in Tennessee. You know, I have the number in Sacramento. Anybody wants that number, feel free to come up to me and I will give it to you. I don't have it on me, but I have it at home. And we can get a crew of Habitat people out here because we are considered still for 1 year in a state of emergency because of the earthquake disaster. I don't know about any of you, but I've been thinking about the people, the elderly in the Casa del Rey. Where are they? I was also told by somebody who's lived here longer than I that the Seabright Company wanted that piece of property, and now they hands-on got the property with the bide that they will not build it for a couple of years now, or a year, because it would look too uncool. In other words, that structure didn't have to come down. Okay, that's one small example, similar to what the other sister was saying, the other brother happening with condos being built. That could be your grandmother, my grandmother, your uncle, my aunt, in the street. Last December before Christmas, I left the city, and I heard it one man, one fighter, on the news say, I've had it, nothing's happening in the town, no trailers are coming, they're coming to Watsonville, but that was even waylaid. And we all know why, because of prejudice against a race called the brown. If it wasn't for the brown brother and sister, not one white person here could eat today, because they're in our fields bending over, breaking their backs. And the third point I have is the YMCA and the YWCA. We don't need another jazzercise, another hobby hutch. Those buildings should be turned into low traveling lodges. It will bring income into the economic depressed town. When you people get a temp job and you don't have first class security, you can stay for a week at the Y, have a shower, treat yourself as a king or a queen should be treated. Okay, one last thing. And the last thing is, many towns across the nation, the way that you put humiliation in the face of the politician, all of you band together, go clean up and scrub up the streets, at the metro, at the post office, weed the lawns, and put your bill in front of the council and say, you pay us. And the fourth thing, we have guardian angels in San Jose. You guys here are tough people, ex-Vietnam people, And you men are the ones who protect the women in the streets. Every 15 seconds in America, women are battered and abused. You go forward with that plan to the police department and tell them to pay you to secure the safety in the streets. Thank you for listening. God bless you. I love you.
Okay, a quick announcement here, folks. You want some barbecue food? Move over to the table and get some, because it's on. Yeah, we also would like some security to go to the homeless table, to the barbecue area, to the food area up there.
I want to go see what's burning.
Okay.
City Hall, perhaps.
We have another speaker here in the meantime. A short speech, I'm told. This speech is about Santa Barbara. Michael is a man who came up from Santa Barbara on foot. He's facing a crisis down there like they're facing in San Francisco tomorrow. San Francisco tomorrow, and the next day there'll be sweeps of the Civic. But down in Santa Barbara, they're probably one of the best organized homeless movements around. And he can tell you about that and what he wants to do down there.
Happy 4th of July. Nice to be seeing y'all out here. I know most of you are from the north counties. And I know you guys got your own pieces of fat in the fire that you want to get out and get them out of there. If you would, though, if those that are heading south, or when you go back to your north counties and you run into people that are heading south, let them know that we have an active, ongoing sleep-in at City Hall in Santa Barbara. We have 35 to 60 people a night pushing for a repeal of the camping laws. We're in our third month down there. We do a nightly feed. We have the media pretty much on our side. We get a lot of coverage down there. We're you and a few others like you away from turning that thing around down there. This July 8th, we're going to have an out-of-town get-together. As many people from out of town that want to come, we're going to have food and music. That's about it. Hopefully, if you know anybody that's heading down that way, stop off in Santa Barbara and ask where City Hall is, and you will find the Santa Barbara Homeless Coalition. The only other thing I'd like to say is they have a post office sleep-in up here in Santa Cruz. Those people that are not leaving tonight, hey, them guys down there have been running the gauntlet night after night after night, you know, and they could use some support. And I suspect if we go down there and sleep with them tonight down there, those that are going to be in town, they'd really appreciate it. And about the worst you're going to run is a ticket, and most likely not even that if we hang together in solidarity. Thank you.
We have another speaker from Berkeley.
Might as well.
Okay. And he's going to speak about the cop watch issue. Are you? Okay.
I've already been given a place to speak while everybody's away here. So knowing where I stand, for those who would like to listen, who, you know, for whatever reason, I would like to talk about organizing, and that's the bottom line there. I want to make a declaration of interdependence. We do not exist as a society without one another's help. We need to band together, not with one another, and with those who have similar or allied interests. What we have done in Berkeley to make the small progress, admittedly, that we have made is that we have gone and knocked from door to door. We have given our homeless newsletter to hundreds and probably thousands of Berkeley residences. They were remarkably supportive. The people always get the front mic who seem to be against you. When you talk to them personally, you get a much different aspect of the situation. But you must study the politics of your city. You need to use your ability to sit down, your ability to listen, to go to boards and commissions, but not just the city council meetings, but each one of these things that impinges on you. You need to know tenants' issues. Every one of us became homeless because of one thing, eviction. this is as much a tenants issue as it is a homeless issue. People driven out of their homes by presumptions of property values from sharp dealing landlords, that sort of thing. There are undoubtedly organizations here in your town who are trying to pull tenants together. There are peace and justice activists, people who deal with refugees, with apartheid, with situations that show the injustice of other countries. Make them know that the injustice is not peculiar to those foreign countries, that it exists here in the United States. The next thing after that, you need to formulate demands. That is when you develop demonstration potential. The thing that you must understand is you never, never, never tell them your minimum demand. Don't say, well, we'll accept a place to crash. We'll accept, sleep under the bridge. Never, never tell them that. Never tell anybody that. But a good idea for a maximum demand, one to press so that you can get your alleviations is restitution. You were ripped off for your housing. You were ripped off for your money. You were ripped off for the time you spent laboring for the man. Ask for that to be restored. They cannot give you that demand because the economy, the country as it is, would collapse. They can't do that. If the working people got back everything that was coming to them, that would be equivalent to revolution. Therefore, you will start to get some amenities. Ask for more than it is that you will accept. Now, okay, I'm sorry to have taken your time.
Oh. Thanks!
Would anyone who found a green canteen over by one of the trees please return it to me? I really would appreciate it because it's mine. So, thank you.
Yeah, and our sister Flower here would like to say a few words also.
Hi. I have a few issues to talk about. One is that Well, I wound up in Dominican Hospital Mental Unit last summer, where quite a few street people wind up, and I want to talk about it being a torture chamber. They have a few morning activities, 6 days a week, and that's it. And the rest of the day, patients are left to just pace back and forth, and pace back and forth. And you can tell that there's wealth in that hospital. You know, it's just a really well-kept building. But what's needed is for money to be put into activities to a caring staff. They have a desk there where someone can stand and no one will even come out to find out what the person's need is for quite a while. Well, that's one issue. I hope that some concerned people will contact congresspeople about this. Then another issue is that some side effects of the camping ban are that it makes it just like, a high possibility for us sisters to get raped out there because there's no really, safe place to camp. And also that if the camping ban would be banned, it would help free some of our Mexican brothers and sisters. Because then they'd have a place to go, other than their work farms. Another issue, I hope I'm not rolling off too much at once, but these things have just grown on my mind, is that if you've noticed that our town has put up these banners on some streets, and some of the sayings are just plain stupid. They're up so high that it'd be just about impossible to read them when going by in a car. And, it's obvious that they're quite expensive, probably, hundreds or maybe a few $1,000 went into them that could have been used to help take care of the homeless and elderly and needy people. And I hope that this gets presented to the City Council. And the last topic I want to say is about housing. I recently moved into a house, and there's about as much of a battle going on there, and I suspect in other houses too, it's on the streets. Like, we're not allowed to have any street people come over. And I think that's just another issue to be addressed in this town.
Freedom of association.
It's prejudice against all of us to even go, visit someone who lives in a house.
If nobody minds, I'd like to thank the band here for setting up the PA system, and now we're going to hear from the Deep Fried Sea Monkeys. That's
good
the
job.
Deep Fried Sea Monkeys, and I especially thank them for setting up the PA system.
Would you like to make a few remarks about the demonstration and how it went today?
I thought it was very good. I think it's the first blow of many blows to fall on what I call the final bringing down of the mall. This is because, where there may be a lot of good intentions from all people who think that all people have good intentions, that is, that all people don't want this to be happening, but it is happening, the sleeping ban, in that we feel like criminals when we go to sleep in our van, the bus, the bushes, the woods. This feeling like a criminal doesn't help you for the next day. And because the mall itself is already weak from the earthquake, constant demonstrations down there will weaken it more. And their main concern is not raising hell for the business and shops, which are already weak. They're not making as enough money as they did before the quake. The last thing they want to do is see a demonstration once every 2 or 3 weeks around the camping issue. They don't want to see that. And I think that today was one big blow on the mall, and if people really put their minds to having a continuous wave after wave, those walls of the mall will come down. And maybe, we can tell City Hall, the false progressives, we can tell them, look, we'll back off from demonstrating if you take the sleeping ban away. And once they are cornered like the flunkies that they are for the business world, they might just have to go along with something like that, because I don't really feel that their conscience is ever going to give us anything. When their nuts are being squeezed. This is what experience has always shown. You squeeze their nuts and they will yell a little bit. But if we go around fooling ourselves, with lightweight demonstrations outside the mall and slip-ins and all that, that might add up, and it has added up. But the blows have to be directed to the weakened mall. That's my feeling.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Park.
I'd like to say a few words, and that's don't mourn, organize.
What did you think of the demonstration today? How did you feel it went?
I think it was lame. I thought the demands were minimal. You should never voice your minimal demands. Never tell the establishment what little you will put up with accepting. Never do that. Secondly, I don't know. It seemed like we used up most of our energy going, marching around, talking to the thin air. There was scarcely anyone around.
All right, thanks. Would you like to make a few remarks about the demonstration today? How did it go for you?
Well, I think it's long overdue. The people from Oakland are ahead. They're fighting the good fight. And I think we have to take a lesson from them and really get moving on some very, very real problems that all homeless people have, women have. I've seen women with children. I've seen pregnant women who really want to hold themselves together. They are not on drugs. They are not winos. They are people who cannot afford to spend the rent. They don't have an income. So I think that the group that says we want worthy people, but the rest should leave Santa Cruz, they're not hitting the mark. This problem is not going to go away. So I think it's been a real inspiration to see a group as the Oakland group is out front, and they frankly said, get off it and really start changing your attitude. Self-help and doing what has to be done is where it's at. So I hope this will be a new beginning.
Thank you. You
welcome.
Would you like to say a few words about the demonstration?
Oh, well, I think, as I said in my speech, that it's real important the camping ban is lifted for the oppressed people in Santa Cruz, like some of the Mexicans who feed us. That's all. I think that's a huge statement there. You know, I think that's one of the reasons we have the camping ban here, is that our government doesn't want these oppressed people to be freed.
Thank you.
Amen. I hope the Cop Watch can get going in Santa Cruz like they have it up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, thank you. Would you like to say a few words about the demonstration today, how it went for you?
Well, it went fine for me because I expected this. And I expected the feedback. I'm going to expect that. It's practically, it's a rehearsal.
A rehearsal?
Yes, it's a rehearsal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's about all I can say for it.
Are you from Santa Cruz?
I'm from Berkeley.
You're from Berkeley.
Berkeley.
All right. Thanks for coming down.
And thank you.
All right.
I'd sure like to see some of these people out here, man, instead of talking shit, start doing something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they sit around here and talk something until there's a microphone around. Then they don't say anything.
All right. Hi, Mike. Would you like to say a few words about how the demonstration went for you?
I think it's gone great. I think it's about as well as we can expect.
Yeah. How's the barbecue?
It's a muy delicioso.
Would you like to say a few words about how you saw the demonstration?
Not right now.
Not right now?
Okay.
Would you like to say a few words about how you saw the demonstration and how it went for you and your people down from Oakland?
First of all, the main thing I'd like to say about this Congress here in Santa Cruz, I think it was a success. It was opportunity to bring homeless people together. It showed that we are able to empower ourselves. We just don't have resources to do so. But we do have a nature of cooperation. There seems to be a lot of hope and a lot of spirit amongst people from all parts of California. And speaking as a member of the Oakland Union of the Homeless, I'm very proud of the people that are here today.
Thank you.
Here we are in the smoky denouement
in hellhole
of the end of this demonstration. Everybody's getting fed, it looks like. A lot of people had their say. A brief scuffle with some Oakland folks. A couple people threw a few punches. A fire engine arrived at one point, but everything seems pretty...
Armed with knives and fucking bitches like whores and sluts.
In any case, there was a brief altercation, but essentially we handled it ourselves, and I'm kind of impressed with that. And... looked like a good day, you know. I mean, it's been beautiful weather. No substantive harassment from anybody else. A lot of people said a lot of good things. Lunatic cameraman never talked about psychiatric rights. Nonetheless, I'd like to point out that I found it was a useful endeavor to have you here and your machine. Thank you, John.
Thank you.